Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. We are coming at you live from Alan's flat. We've got Alan Jacobson, the cat, sitting on the table helping us out with the pod. And to my right, I've got Matt. How are you, bud?
Good, mate. Scotland team out today. I'm going to be at the game. I'm excited.
Pumped about it. And Alan, just doing some last minute research for the quiz. How are you doing?
Good. Big old quiz coming. Don't you worry.
What's the vibe of the quiz? Give us a bit of early insight.
So, Scottish centres, a bleak past.
A very, very bleak past.
In some dark times.
Absolutely. Well, we look forward to that. Thanks again for joining us, guys. Probably on Acast or Apple or wherever you're getting your podcasts. We really do not care. Chatting to us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and sliding right on in to that mailbag, the Thistle Rugby @gmail.com. So lots to talk about today. Obviously the squad announcement for the Scotland Wales game and lots of great talking points in that. We'll get to that in a wee bit, but as we do every week, let's run down the news of what's been going on in Scottish rugby. News out of Edinburgh Rugby yesterday, young hooker Cammy Fenton has re-signed for Edinburgh. We haven't seen huge amounts of him, but a decent bit of business, Matt.
Yeah, you're right. He's always looked pretty good when he's played, to be fair. And he may be expected to get a bit more game time ahead of the likes of David Cherry, who's probably played above expectations. But probably with Ross Ford coming to the end of his contract as well, soonish. He's a good young player to have kept on the books.
Yep, absolutely. Speaking of good young players, but not one kept on the books. Scotland under 20 cap. Rory Hutchison this week has been named as the English Premiership Player of the Month. It's been an absolutely sparkling form for the Northampton Saints. Alan, is he the sort of guy that we should hope to see in a Scotland shirt being tested out ahead of the World Cup?
Well, it reminds me of myself, if I'm honest.
Does he?
As a young, sort of dynamic outside centre.
Dynamic. you had good skills, but you're never dynamic.
I'm not sure you were ever that thin. I don't believe it.
I've been obese for years. very much more, I'm trying to think what I'm almost more of an Andy Good probably than
yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Rob Dewey.
Andy Good
Rob,
one out.
Rob Dewey's probably actually the most apt. He's sort of, I think he's had to sort of bide his time in that Northampton squad, and he's obviously played a few of sort of the Premiership Cup games at the start of the season, but I think this international break specifically, he's really sort of burst through, and especially as the Saints are playing pretty well. I know they lost
doing
to
well
Saracens at the weekend.
Great coach and Chris Boyd down there as well, so it's a good person for him to be learning from.
And increasingly outside centre is looking like a position that we need some depth.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
it is. Well, I guess we can skip forward a little bit on the news and talk about Scotland's reigning outside centre and his seemingly endless holidays.
I know.
In Barbados this week.
Mate, he's on rehab in Barbados.
I reckon.
Yeah.
It was quite funny to see his Instagram post after a couple of days of him very smugly being in Barbados. There was one sort of out of the blue saying, oh, obviously very upset to have picked up an injury. Grateful for the sunshine.
Yeah.
That's come straight from, I reckon, Dodson's office. They're like, Hugh, you need to stop.
Yeah.
You need to stop enjoying not playing for Scotland so much.
Oh, no.
I've heard Barbados has got world-class rehab facilities, to be fair. So.
And Hugh Jones looked like he was having a great time with a nice little sort of, it was like a little bottle of vodka just sort of chilling next to the pool.
I couldn't see. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Gotta be careful about that.
Mate.
Wild speculation.
Vodka helps the rehab, mate. Let the man play.
I believe it. Well, he is enjoying his holiday. Other news this week. Scotland Sevens lifted the Challenge Trophy at the Las Vegas Sevens last weekend. That is the second tier of the sort of tournament within the Sevens, but they seem to be going pretty well this year.
Yeah, doing okay. I think they would be disappointed to not be in the main cup competition. I think probably the highlights for them from that tournament was Max McFarlane's two tries.
Looks
from
absolutely sort of like rapido.
80, 90 metres. And I kind of thought that he wasn't maybe up to the standard of the likes of a sort of Jimmy Farndale or something, but
yeah.
He seems to have been coming on to a really good game this year, so that's pretty encouraging.
No, I think because obviously they've done pretty well to get through the group stages and have just kept failing at the quarterfinals. And whilst obviously it's disappointing to have not come as sort of the top two of your group, there's also something quite nice about winning silverware, even if it is like...
Yeah. It's presumably not worth as many points, though.
It's not worth as many points.
Yeah, and they did beat Chile and Spain en route.
Yeah.
They scraped past Spain in the final, didn't they?
And Chile in the semi.
Yeah.
I was looking at that flag on my phone being like, I don't really know what country that is.
Well, you wouldn't expect them to be there, would
yeah,
you?
Yeah, exactly.
You see the news coming out of England today that A, they're looking to potentially scrap their Sevens program.
Yeah.
And B, potentially look at merging to create a Team GB.
They've been talking about the Team GB Sevens for a wee while, haven't they?
Yeah.
Not only do they get to obviously pool funding, but they all then also get access to Olympic funding, supposedly.
Ah, yes, they could go to UK.
Also, considering Wales obviously have financial difficulties at the moment.
And the RFU.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. On top of that, I wouldn't be surprised if Wales were keen.
Mark
as well.
Dodson just sitting on a pile of cash, being like, right, lads.
But I just don't understand how you can run the RFU into the ground.
I was thinking the exact same thing today.
Like,
I was like, obviously, the cost base is higher, but you generate the most revenues out of any rugby union in the world.
Yeah.
And you're getting like huge crowds, what seems to be a commercially successful like venture that's getting a lot of sponsorship.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Okay, it's completely, I guess, I mean, they do pay players 25 grand a game.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Pretty savage weight.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, so maybe, I mean, again, Scotland and England use the Sevens for quite different reasons. That England team is, they're all now very specifically Sevens
players.
Yeah,
you're right.
Absolutely.
It's very rare for someone to come through and...
No,
absolutely. It's unheard of to get a cap these days. Whereas with Scotland, with the shallower player pool, it could happen.
Yeah, and it's been relatively successful.
Mm-hmm.
It has been.
Especially now you see Darcy Graham, which we'll talk about later, starting for Scotland, basically a year out from playing Sevens.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's quite a nice option for Scotland, I suppose. It's another place to keep players playing regularly.
Well, particularly if you do have another pro team, then.
Yeah. Exactly. Speaking of the pro teams, there was a piece in the Sunday Times last weekend and subsequent sort of chatter about Aaron Cruden, All Blacks World Cup winner, potentially coming to Glasgow because he's got a very good relationship with Dave Rennie. What did you guys make of that? Do you think there's anything behind it? And also, do you actually think that's what Glasgow should be spending their money on?
Well, I think the rumours got chucked out when Dave Rennie was first coming to Glasgow.
Yeah,
as well.
I
don't know whether it is genuinely because, you know, he's probably one of the most high-profile players that would have played under Rennie for the Chiefs. So I don't know how much truth there is. In terms of him being a useful signing, I'm not 100% sure. He's sort of coming towards the tail end of his career. Got Hastings, got Thompson. And he'd be expensive. So I would much rather spend the money somewhere else, like reinforcing that pack.
Yeah, unless they're going for, you know, we want to have a team that is going to challenge next year. Like, and Hastings is going to be out on Scotland duty much, much more these days. And maybe Cruden comes in and he can offer that like massive step up, I suppose, and bring through a player like Hastings.
I could see it making sense if it was a one-year deal.
Mm.
It feels like for anything more than that, it sort of makes Hastings' progression look a little bit cloudy. And I think for Montpellier, I think they're more than happy to get him. They want him off the books.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, they do.
And if you can leverage that relationship.
Well, they're going to bin Cotter as well, it looks like it. They're going to clear.
If he doesn't leave first.
Yeah.
I also saw, speaking of Rennie, that he is in the frame to replace Michael Checker at Australia at some point.
Interesting.
Yeah. It would be on a short list because obviously Johnson knows him and Scott Johnson is now the performance director there.
Scott Johnson, the kingmaker.
I know.
Does what he wants.
An amazing career for Scott Johnson.
So, like, could you have like a non-compete agreement in place for like poaching talent? I don't know. Maybe that doesn't exist.
I mean, I've literally just never heard of that in sport. So
yeah, that's probably fair.
Moving swiftly on.
So something I want to happen.
Yeah.
Something we picked up on the rumor mill this week concerning Edinburgh's big signing of Bill Matta a couple of weeks ago. Word reached Thistle Towers that Edinburgh were considering and even got to the stage of having conversations with representatives of either cancelling or sort of working down John Barkley's contract in order to bring Big Bill in. I mean, pretty massive move considering he was at one stage a Scotland captain and a marquee signing. But do you think it's indicative of just how far Edinburgh have come with not only Matta but with Richie and stuff coming through that maybe Barkley was a little bit surplus?
I think considering Barkley has had that injury that's kept him out for so long,
yeah,
then it potentially becomes a consideration. I wonder if it's sort of there were chats about maybe having a sort of pay-as-you-play type contract, you know, as he sort of winds down towards the World Cup, because he's not going to have that many years left in him, and maybe he sort of sees that as a kind of thinks that that could be an option.
Rationally, I completely understand why. For Edinburgh, you would make that decision because Bill Matta...
Or you'd at least look at it, which is all we really know, is that they had a wee look at it.
But I find it strange that in a World Cup year where I'm assuming Barkley is still a starter for Scotland, potentially captain for Scotland at the World Cup, it feels like a strange conversation to be having.
Well, I wonder if Cockerell might have been driving that because he... You know what he's like, and he sort of think, well, I don't care about the Scotland team in the World Cup. I think that the money is best spent on Bill Matta, and we obviously spent a lot of money on Barkley, and we've seen absolutely nothing in return so far.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's an interesting one that we heard. So we will see. I don't think we'll hear any more about that, but we thought we'd chuck that little pebble out there for discussion.
I guess it means that probably Edinburgh have less cash to play with this summer, though. If they haven't got that off the
rumours, they've gone $350 a year for Matta.
Yeah,
which is a decent chunk of wedge.
Yeah,
but so, what do you think? Barkley will be on something pretty hefty up there as well.
I imagine he's on less
just
than
under,
that.
Yeah,
but with obviously Scotland cap and top
to
ups,
300.
Yeah, and I imagine you know commercially for him being in Scotland. There's a lot more opportunity to kind of sign sponsorship
deals than there was in Chile
and Glenethley.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, let's go over to Matt. Give us some Tennent's Premiership, Matt.
Yeah, so this was actually the last ever round of the Tennent's Scottish Premiership before we go into the Super Six and the playoffs. So Watsonians beat Ayr 22-12 at Marseille.
Come on, Watsonians.
To be fair, Ayr played a... experimental team because they knew they had a home semi-final.
They knew they
sewn
had to
up.
Mix it up to beat Watson, right?
Yeah, exactly. Pretty young team. Barmuir beat Melrose at home, finishing the season well before they go into the Super Six. Melrose were disappointed in that, but a few of their sort of core players coming back for the playoffs. Hawks ended the season with a 12-30 defeat to Stirling at home. Pretty difficult season for Hawks, and seems to be rumours that won't go away about them potentially folding at the end of the season, so we'll see what happens there. Heriot secured a home semi by beating Hoyk away 29-5, a late bonus point securing that. And Curry beat Accies 19-5 at Millennium Park, but failed to secure the bonus point, so they will have and away semi-final against Heracles. So those are the semis confirmed on 23rd of March. Ayr against Melrose at Millbrae, and Heracles against Curry at Golden.
A lot of real grim games this weekend.
They didn't look that much fun to play in.
Yeah.
I mean, Hoik never looks fun to play in. It's got like a microclimate around Mansfield Park.
Of terrible.
Yeah. But that's why they're quite good.
Yeah. That's
people
what
go
do.
Down there and go, oh. I'm twice shipped 50 at
Have
Mansfield
you?
Park. It's the bleak. Worst place to play.
Very, very bleak. Well, thank you very much for that, Matt. Right, before we get into Scotland Wales, we are going to get there eventually, I promise. Let's very quickly talk about the pro games last weekend. Let's start with the good, then move on to the very, very bad. Glasgow absolutely horsed Zebra, get it? And beat them what? By... It's a type of horse, isn't it? Kind of?
Maybe.
Yeah. Some people might laugh at that.
I reckon there's some laughs out there.
Possibly.
I reckon people have paused, they've had a laugh, now they're back. It was Glasgow 42, Zebra 10, which, you know, away from home in Italy, that's a pretty decent result. Glasgow have done very, very well during this international break.
I mean, essentially, they absolutely rinsed them in the first half.
Yeah.
Both in attack and defence,
yeah.
And then just completely were like... We are going to cruise yeah. through this second yeah. half.
After the match, David Rennie was like, I'm really, really disappointed by the second half.
But again, a lot of like young players, you know, not looking, well, dominating their opposite man, especially in the backs.
Yeah.
So.
I really liked Stafford McDowell's try when he peeled off the line out for some reason.
Yes. I've never seen that happen.
A back. Normally it's number eight. Or you'd expect to see like George Turner doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Didn't they like you
really
are the most
impressive.
Destructive ball carrier
yeah.
in this team?
And maybe it's just a bit different. It's like unexpected, I suppose, if you're the defender. I think the ref did slightly get in the way, to be fair. But
yeah.
then he absolutely powered through that tackler.
Could be the biggest Glasgow backline that's possibly been fielded. Stafford McDowell, Stain, Robbie Nairn, Rosa Hughes.
Yep.
Those lads are all like 6'3", 6'4".
Interestingly enough, I saw... Scottish Rugby posted a little video of them training in prep for Wales today
at
the Orium, and I'm pretty sure Kyle Stain was training with the squad.
Really?
Yeah, I meant to tell you earlier, I forgot.
Well, it's good to get my
yeah,
live
exactly.
reaction.
Yeah, wow. yeah, yeah, no, that was quite genuine.
Whoa.
I'll tell you who's, you know, Rue Jackson's had a tough start to the season. He knows contract negotiations are coming up.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just stepping up that form enough. He's like, hogs away.
Yeah.
Your old man Rue's here.
He's valuable in his own way.
Oh, yeah. There's a one-year deal 100% getting done.
And that was his 150th appearance, right?
It was 150th
and
appearance.
Crowned it with a try.
Yeah. No, he was looking good, to be fair.
Very, very decent little spell from Glasgow. And they returned to the top of Pool A because Munster got B, didn't they?
Yeah, by the Scarlets.
So Glasgow back on top, looking very good. But... It has been a very poor international break for Edinburgh. They went down 18-10 to Treviso away from home. Pretty controversial try that sealed it for Benetton. It very much looked like Tom Brown had gotten back to cover that kick through, but it went up to the TMO for about 5 seconds, and he was like, it's all good, lads. That is definitely a try.
Was he Italian?
Yeah.
TMO?
Absolute
I thought you
up.
Had to have neutral. Only I said neutral.
Call
refs.
In from Conor O'Shea. He's like, I need this, man.
He's like, we absolutely need this. But I suppose most importantly, that now leaves Edinburgh a little bit adrift in Conference B.
They're fifth.
Yeah, they're fifth.
Behind Treviso, Ulster, Leinster, and another who I can't remember.
I can't think off the top of my head.
Scarlets.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty difficult road back now, and. I don't know, I wonder if they just start to concentrate in that quarterfinal against...
I think it's
just... Oh, no, they've still got a chance.
They've still got a chance, but it just tells you how shallow that Edinburgh squad is.
I mean, losses, they've lost to the Kings away.
Yeah.
Cardiff at home when they threw away that lead.
That massive lead.
You know, Treviso away is a far harder game than it used to be, but it's still pretty disappointing.
I think Edinburgh are going to be fifth. Their running is Leinster... Scarlets away, Ulster, and then Glasgow. They got the toughest running of those four teams.
Yeah. Everyone's still something to play for.
Yeah. It's these two. It's kind of been a weird one for both Edinburgh and Glasgow. They've almost had like opposite seasons, where obviously Glasgow came out the blocks really quickly and then stuttered over Christmas, just as Edinburgh really peaked in terms of form.
Yeah.
And then through this international period, I do still think that whilst at the top line, Edinburgh and Glasgow are relatively probably similar, Glasgow just have so much more depth in that team during the international break.
I think they do and they don't, but like if I told you at the start of the season that you'd see a Glasgow centre partnership of Stafford McDowell and Steyn, you know, you wouldn't think, oh, Glasgow have got loads of depth. You'd be thinking, fucking hell, what's going on? How has that happened?
I wonder if you've still got just kind of a bit of a spine of players like Swinson and even Cummings maybe, who've like come through the setup winning games, and they're like they're used to winning
Matt
matches
back as well.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, you know, the senior guys at Edinburgh have only started really winning consistently in the last year and a half and are used to losing, so it makes it more difficult for the younger guys coming through.
That front five for Glasgow: Kebble, Turner, Ferguson, Swinson, Cummings.
Yeah, it's really good.
Like, they could start for Glasgow in a Champions Cup game. And you wouldn't be that gutted about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, that pack just, I think, is a slight step above. And it's mainly because not many Glasgow players are being picked for the Scotland pack.
Really, yeah, it's an odd one, isn't it?
Apart from Johnny Gray.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, looking Warriors looking good. Edinburgh, nay, looking good.
No.
Nay,
that's my summation.
Oh, that's very good. Well, let's move on to the meat and drink of the episode then. Scotland versus Wales at sold out BT Murrayfield this weekend.
What number is this? Sold out number 12?
Number 12.
I don't know, actually. Is that true? You just made that up.
I don't know.
I'm just excited. I just can't wait for all the Instagram posts.
Yeah.
So great to be back here at sold out BT Murrayfield. Boys did great.
Yeah.
Either
thanks to the fans.
Obviously thanks to the fans at sold out BT Murrayfield.
Nothing better than coming out at BT Murrayfield.
Wearing the thistle at sold out BT Murrayfield.
Dodson's literally walking around the change room after the game being like, where's your Instagram post thanking the fans? I need to see it now.
I need it. Absolutely need it. So Gregor Townsend named his team at lunchtime today. I'll run you through it. Alan Dell, Stuart McInally and Will Anell in the front row. Second row, Grant Gilchrist and Johnny Gray. Back row, unchanged from France. Magnus Badbury, Jamie Ritchie and Josh Strauss. Changes in the back line. Ali Price partners his bromance lover Finn Russell at 9 and 10. In the centre, Glasgow partners Pete Horn and Nick Grigg. And in the back three, starting debut for Darcy Graham, Tommy Seymour on the other wing and Blair Kinghorn at fullback. Lads, let's start with the biggest talking point. Scotland captain Greg Laidlaw on the bench. Interception machine against Wales. Ali Price starting at nine. How do we feel about it?
I mean, I get the rationale. I think that, you know, Laidlaw maybe hasn't been playing that well. And in particular, there's been the criticism of his delivery being too slow. So, you know, Ali Price has got at least a reputation for having a quicker pass and just being able to speed up the game. So quick taps and everything. But I think, Price hasn't actually been in that good form for the last, like, year and a half.
He's not been starting nine for Glasgow this year.
Exactly. Since his disaster against Wales.
Yeah.
He hasn't really recovered.
So all come full circle for the Price.
I know. And then at the same time, like, for all Laidlaw's faults, it seems to be that you write him off and then he comes and delivers like a really good performance where he shows those like the leadership skills and the game management.
As soon as he's not there, you're like, that's why Laidlaw's good.
So I'm not mad about that selection.
I'm actually happy that Price is in the team. I think it's the right thing for this Scotland team. I do think that Price should have been potentially brought in earlier in the tournament.
Yeah.
It's
interesting. I know he's injured, but do you think George Horn would have been sort of knocking on the door? Is he at that level?
It's hard. I guess Price has got the international experience.
Mm.
And I feel like Price is almost slowly sort of picking up a lot of those traits that Horn brings to the game. I mean, that try against France at the weekend is exactly the sort of line that Horn's been doing sort of all season.
Totally.
I think Price can do it. Just Horn has that reputation for it. Horn does it all the time.
Yeah. But no, I think a lot of it also rests on Russell. You know, Russell doesn't have Laidlaw there to sort of dictate and be, you know, Le Petit Général. Oh, what do they call it in France?
Yeah.
That's it.
Le Petit Général.
but I think we all know Russell's got it in his locker. It's what he does for Racing all the time.
Yeah.
And I think he really just needs to dominate and dictate this game.
It also feels that reigning in Finn is maybe one of like sort of most like overrated cliches of Scottish rugby. Finn's not reined in by anybody.
Yeah.
If he gets
right.
front football, it doesn't matter who it's coming from, he's going to do something weird. I don't care if it's coming from Price or Laidlaw or Horn. There's no reining in Finn, so he's going to do what he's going to do.
So you might as well just give him quick ball.
is where I've ended up there. But I mean, quick ball being the operative thing, though, that makes this Townsend team work. Unchanged back row, Bradbury, Strauss, Ritchie, they didn't really manage to generate anything against France last weekend. Are you surprised that he's not brought back Hamish Watson to sort of add something different to that back row?
To be fair, you know, Hamish Watson didn't particularly stand out against Treviso at the weekend. He actually had a relatively quiet game, which is, to be fair, you know, he's back from injury, so it's going to take him a little bit while to come back.
But he was also trying not to get injured again.
Yeah, that is also true. But I do think if he started in that game and made, you know, like 50 metres with ball in hand, three turnovers, put in a couple of big hits, I think he gets straight into that starting team. Mm. Whereas, obviously, they kind of think he needs just a bit more time to kind of build up his fitness. England's next week as well.
Yeah.
So.
And at the same time, you're giving Bradbury a bit of a chance to get back up to match fitness, which I don't think he was against France. And Watson is like an impact sub.
Yeah.
It seems like quite a good idea, actually, like coming on at 50 minutes or something.
Yeah.
I don't think Wales are going to be looking at that thinking, oh, shit.
I think it's harsh on Graham, though.
Well, that's what I was thinking when I looked at that at the subs bench. But I don't know. I don't think they weren't going to start Graham, were they?
No.
So
I mean, because obviously there was initially a worry about Strauss because he did go off for his HIA at the weekend.
Yeah.
Has come back on. Hasn't really performed at that great a level for Scotland.
No.
And Sale for this whole year. So I feel like he's got
to
be under.
He did okay against Ireland, I thought, to be fair.
Yeah, I think he was good against Ireland.
Defensively. But yeah, we just need to see that carrying, which is, you know, the main reason he's there.
And hopefully Ritchie can sort of bounce back after one. He was all right against France, but he wasn't hitting those levels that he was in the first two games of the championship.
I mean, I thought he was our best, at least back row in that match, if not our best forward.
Well, he was no Alan Dell.
Well, fair enough.
There's been a lot of where do you see this in, like, Townsend's most important games? There's been a bit of chat about this.
Mm.
And to be fair, a lot of chat is can't work out whether it doesn't really mean anything or if actually where the Scotland team's been, how far we're out from World Cup.
I think
is this actually a really important game for the Scotland team?
I think it is really important. I think that, as I was saying to you guys earlier, this is where, like, Townsend can really prove that he is a world-class coach.
Yeah.
I think I hate to go back to Warren Gatland again, but this is exactly the kind of match.
Love Gatland.
If Gatland was... My brother's given me loads of shit about my chat the other week.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
But if Gatland was in the situation of having injuries and being under pressure, this is just the kind of match where he would come up with something that would, or be able to motivate his players in such a way that they would win the match.
Yeah.
And if Townsend can do that, then suddenly, you know, even England looks a bit more interesting. And the World Cup, you kind of think, right, okay, well, we're a bit more, in a bit of a more favourable position.
I completely agree. I think it's massive. I think if we lose this, the players are going to be heading down to Twickenham. No matter how big Scotland England is, they're going to be low in confidence heading to Twickenham against an England team that are pretty much on the rise, despite what happened to them against Wales.
Mm.
And also, Wales are third in the world at the moment. 11, 12 games unbeaten or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost
could
like
be
a
unlucky 13.
Could be an unlucky 13, Matt. Wow.
Whoa.
And I think it completely changes the atmosphere around the Six Nations if we can come out and we've not just beaten Italy.
Oh, yeah. And if we beat Wales with, like, not a second string, but getting there.
Yeah.
I just think that will be huge mentally.
It's enormous. And then if we do go down to Twickenham and lose, which, you know, I think the safe money probably is that it's going to be very difficult to break our 35-year hoodoo at Twickenham with all these injuries, but we've bagged that win against Wales. That totally changes the atmosphere coming into the end of the season, coming into the summer tests and warm-ups and things like that. So I think it's enormous, and let's just hope that Tom Bowler can just, you know, it's going to land good.
I also really don't want Gatland's career to end at Wales with him never having lost to Scotland.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Wales have got that one loss, and it's just when Rob Howley was in charge, which almost kind of takes
devalues
away.
From, it. Yeah, does devalue it. Nobody plays for Rob Howley. I suppose the other big talking point in the back line, centre partnership, something that's changed an awful lot this tournament. Pete Horn at 12, and quite surprisingly, I thought, Nick Grigg held on at 13 after a pretty average day at the office in Paris last week. Why do you think Townsend stuck with Grigg?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a massive surprise that Horn shifts out to 12. I think that was always going to happen. My only argument would be that Grigg, to be fair to him against France, defended pretty well and is used to defending in that 13 channel. And your only other option, I suppose, is maybe having Sam Johnson, who's not so used to that, defending in that channel.
Yeah.
Not quite so quick, maybe, at defending the outside spaces.
Jimmy Johnson?
I just think it's
a step too far.
I just think it's a big ass to chuck someone in, particularly when you've maybe got a slightly inexperienced backline as well, and one where you've made a lot of changes. So, I'm surprised. I think Grigg was pretty poor, and I think Townsend probably said to him, like, this is a real chance to redeem yourself, and if you don't, then, you know, that might be it.
That's not great analysis, but I want Grigg to do well. Seems like a really nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
Friend of the pod, Squigsy.
I know.
Yeah, and if he can, you know, replicate the form which he's obviously shown for Glasgow and against Argentina in the summer.
Yeah.
Just needs like a bit of space, a bit of confidence, just make like a kind of half break in the first quarter or something. Oh, he is playing as Jonathan Davies, but you never know. I mean, he is like
Jonathan
a sort of
Davies getting in that outside channel and just like putting his hand on like Grigg's head and being like, absolutely not.
Oh, God.
Just sending like George North down the channel.
I've seen Jonathan Davies just loves that outside 13 channel against Scotland. That is just like where he lives.
But it's not even like he's like got a quick outside break.
I know.
He just gets there though and he's got a great fend.
Talking about George North running at people, his opposite man, wee Darcy Graham.
I don't worry about it. Darcy Graham's been battering people all over Europe.
Darcy Graham's also been tackling people who are like better and harder than George North.
Are we chatting about Sevilla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And
I worry.
Did he play against Nadola?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't.
I don't worry about people running at him. I worry about Wales being like, wow, he's about 5.5 foot. George North, you're 6.5 foot. Let's just kick it over there.
Yeah.
And Darcy Graham has been all right in the air, and I don't take this away from him, but, you know, kick the ball 10 times, the person who's a foot taller is probably going to win more of those. It's a percentage game.
He's also playing against, you know, if they put Liam Williams up to compete for that ball.
Oh, amazing.
Liam Williams is unbelievable in the air. He's probably going to win that.
And it's not, I don't think it is like talking Darcy Graham down, but he's short. He's a small guy.
Yeah, I'm sure that Anscombe has been told first play, put up a bomb on Darcy Graham.
Yeah. And at that back,
we do exactly the same thing.
I'm a huge fan of Dicey Graham, but I look across that back three. Tommy Seymour, very out of form, has not been playing well in this Six Nations at all. And
I think lucky to start this game. If
I absolutely, yeah.
Hadn't been for Maitland was fit.
Yeah.
And Kinghorn is a fantastic player, and going forward, most meters made in the Six Nations so far. Yeah. He has made a couple of errors under pressure, under high balls and things like that. So I actually, as much as I like all three of the players individually for stuff they've done for club and country, it looks a little bit fragile.
I think one of the good things about Kinghorn, though, in that France game was he made that mistake really early on where he sort of like dropped that ball. But actually, it was probably our most impressive back in that game.
Oh,
so it didn't really mean... He's got a bit of the Russell about him and a bit of the Hastings where I don't really feel like stuff like that impacts him that much.
He doesn't seem phased.
No.
Either by sort of the stage he's on, or you know, making mistakes or being under pressure.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean, and I think, you know, the lack of experience, just even with like Price at nine as well.
Yes.
And then Horn and Greg, you know, and Horn's, you know, had almost 50 caps now, I suppose, maybe 50. It just looks a bit like a kind of, I was saying this earlier, like a kind of Glasgow team that, a Glasgow backline,
yeah,
even the full team that would like lose a quarter final to Munster.
Well, I guess talking about experience, Gray, 50 cap.
50 caps, yeah.
24?
23, yeah, it's 3 days before his 25th birthday.
I mean, it's amazing. He's due a big performance, but he is up against Alan Wynne-Jones.
We've talked about it a lot, and obviously, yes, his work rate is great. The thing, you compare him to Alan Wynne-Jones, and I imagine every single game, Johnny Gray will make more tackles and will hit more rucks.
Yeah.
And I think 99% of people would choose Alan Wynne-Jones over Johnny Gray.
100%. Because 100% of people would choose
the tackles that Alan Wynne-Jones makes, and just his general sort of how he dictates the line-out is so important.
Yeah.
And it's the two aspects of Gray's game that are really missing in terms of he's never really managed, never really been seen as a leader at the line-out.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because he's sort of like a quiet individual, isn't he? But I know what you mean in terms of like big line-out calls. Doesn't seem to be he's the one that's going up and really commanding it.
I mean, it's one for another pod, but you've got to always remember that he was made Glasgow captain and then was kind of taken away from him when Rennie came in.
Yeah, and given to Wilson.
Cully. Yeah. There's 15 players that have had 50 caps before they're 25.
Really?
And I don't have all of them, but I do have some names that you might recognise.
Should we guess a couple?
Yeah, go on.
North.
Yep, North.
Hogg.
Yeah.
Dan Carr?
Not on this list I'm looking at.
Halfpenny.
Pocock.
No. Wilkinson, Parise, Cullen, Gitto.
Cullen.
George Smith, Faletau, Etzebeth.
There you go.
There's the two second rows are Johnny Gray and Ed and Etzebeth.
Need to remember the context though. Johnny Gray plays for Scotland.
I don't think Etzebeth get in the team. I don't think there's room for an enormous, aggressive second row in the Scotland team.
No.
Absolutely not having it. I suppose finish off by having a quick look at the bench.
I was going to say, I mean, WP&L, potentially Scotland's greatest ever winning player.
Yeah.
Sorry,
no.
Is Scotland's greatest.
He's one of the world's best ever.
Better winning record than Brian O'Driscoll.
He's back, baby.
WP&L. That's it. It's game over. Move on.
It's a win. We're done. Speaking of props, Gordy Reid, straight from the championship onto the bench.
We did break that news, didn't we?
We broke that news that he was driving up.
Did he
have on his
did
way?
Did he drive up? He drove up from London to Edinburgh.
Yeah, he drove. Far as I'm aware. Sent me a selfie.
40 minutes against... was it Scottish?
Yeah, it was Scottish.
40 minutes against London Scottish. Probably
straight
gonna get,
into Wales.
Probably going to get 25 minutes against Wales. What do you think... Because there hasn't been injuries. Do you think Townsend's just looking for more experience off the bench?
I think it's scrummaging.
Because we've talked about it, that when Gordy Reid plays, we are essentially in open play at 14 men.
Well, yeah.
Because his ability to keep up with pace of play and even be where he's meant to be.
Yeah. I mean, I even think back to, you know, that game against Wales when him and Welsh came in.
Oh, God.
And we were, like, kind of worried about the scrum. Actually, the scrum was...
The scrum was fine. He was can scrum,
fine.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just in there to genuinely just hold up the scrum for the last 20 minutes or something.
To be fair, this is where our knowledge of props kind of comes down, because Ferguson's not coming in because they've already got Nell and Bergen.
Bergen, yeah.
Is Dell out?
No, Dell's starting.
Dell's starting. Dell is starting.
As we've said, Dell is starting.
Yeah, Gordon Reed's tight
end. I'm trying to think who else there literally is.
Well, it was Alex Allen was on the bench.
And Darcy Ray.
Darcy Ray has been on the bench.
And Batty as well.
And Batty has been on the bench. So it is somebody who's...
So it's not like... I think if he was coming in the tight head and you had Ferguson not in the squad and Bergen being knocked out, you could be like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
But it...
If we were asking him to scrummage on the other side as well, that would be pretty mad.
I mean, it'd be pretty harsh. But if you look...
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Reed, Allen, Ray, you're kind of like...
It doesn't really matter, I suppose.
Reed's got the experience.
Yeah.
But I suppose you've got Fraser Brown... Excellent off the bench. Probably won't get that much time, but he does give versatility as well. Gordy Reed, as discussed. Bergen. Ben Toulis, there's probably an argument that he could start. Interesting.
Possibly. I think we're going to say Sam Skinner there. That I presume he's not fully fit or not considered match fit because he was back in the squad.
Yeah. Interesting to see if he will make it back for the England game, though.
Yeah, it'd be good to have him because I definitely would have had him starting either in the row or maybe at six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Controversially. Do you think McAnally's played well?
I was speaking about this with my brother today, actually, and he was proposing Fraser Brown to start because he doesn't think that McAnally's actually been that good.
I feel he's been relatively quiet, and maybe it's just because he's been so good for Scotland, especially
set high standards.
Yeah, I feel like he's struggled a little bit.
I think if you're dropping Laidlaw as well, he is your natural second man to captain.
Should know this, but who is captain?
McAnally. It is Stuart McAnally.
It is McAnally, right, cool.
And Alan Dell starting.
Dell starting.
So Dell starting.
This guy, have you heard of Johnny Gray, this guy?
Johnny Gray's playing as well, which is going to be good. I don't know where we were.
McAnally
played that well.
McAnally's getting dropped and Scott Lawson to start. That's
fine, good. And then Hamish Watson, as discussed, he will come on and do a massive shift, you would think, for 25 minutes.
Bring him on at halftime. I bring him on as soon as you can, personally.
Well,
I don't think it really depends on how the game's going.
The thing is, if Bradbury and Watson are both short of match fitness, why don't you just tell both of them? Yeah. Just fucking smash it.
You've
for 40
got 40
minutes.
Like, kill yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although you probably want someone just in case Strauss completely dies like 65 minutes in, and then you move Bradbury to number 8. I mean, it could happen.
Could happen.
Toulis at six.
Oh, God.
Fraser Brown, back
well,
row.
Yeah, that would be Fraser Brown. Rambo's easily got 80 in the tank if he's as long as he doesn't get injured.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then Laidlaw, Hastings, and Byron McGuigan.
Yeah, that's a bit left field.
Had a good game for Sale. I think he scored a couple of tries, or maybe one try.
Well, it seems like they're now saying Russell can cover centre.
Yes.
If any centres go down, that's got to be the move. Russell moves to 12, and Hastings goes in at 10.
Imagine that. We're like... already 20 points down, and then Pete Horn has to take a knee. Hastings on at 10, Russell at 12.
Oh, I'd absolutely love
it. McGuigan also played in that game at Cardiff last year.
Yeah, he did.
Really bad.
I really like
Hastings played at Cardiff at the end of last year and was really bad.
Yeah.
Price was really bad in that game. See where I'm going with this?
But Hastings played very well when he came off the bench against France, and he looked pretty solid against Zebra at the weekend. So
yeah, that's fair.
It's extremely comparable.
There's a real like.
It's exactly the same.
It is exactly the same, but there's a real like. I don't know. Say you want to change up the game, or I don't know. You just want to add the subs. It feels a bit weird bringing Laidlaw and Hastings on, essentially like.
Yeah.
Diametrically opposite in terms of everything they do and believe in.
Believe in.
The belief system.
Yeah. Their values are so just...
Oh, God. Well, lots and lots to look forward to. Why don't we have a wee quiz and then we'll come back and do predictions right at the death.
Yeah.
All right. Over to Alan with the quiz. Let's go.
Well, so I've originally pulled this together when I thought we were getting Nick DeLuca on, but I guess that increasingly looks like it's not going to happen.
He hasn't
texted us back for a wee while, so...
Oh, no.
We'll see.
I spent a period of time today looking at every single game Scotland have played this decade.
God.
It's a real sort of like real dark start, and then like a couple of like peaks of light, and then just like a gradual climb back up the hill sort of in the last few years.
There's so many metaphors in that sentence. Absolutely amazing.
So to kick things off, how many teams have Scotland played this decade? International teams.
It's just too hard and I don't know.
And name me the team we've played most.
Okay, I'm going to go for...
So should we just patch? Shall I just tell you how many teams we've played and then you can go for the top?
Yeah, go on.
We've played 17 separate teams.
I was going to guess 15.
Is that it?
So.
And we've played 105 games.
So the team we've played the most.
And what is the team we have played the most?
Can I go with my guess?
Yeah.
Italy.
Dave?
I was going to say Wales, but I don't think we've played them in a World Cup. England?
Italy is correct.
Ah.
Yeah, these are.
Because
we've done a couple of summers. We've
had a couple of like warm-up games. We played them in the summer. Yeah. In that like
one World Cup.
Yeah, we played them in that quad tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
in Singapore in 2017.
Yeah.
So Italy number one on 15. And then it's actually all the Six Nations. So it was like Ireland, France, and then England and Wales. Who is the top Southern Hemisphere side that we've played?
South Africa.
Australia.
Both incorrect. Australia 6 times, South Africa 7 times, and Argentina 8 times.
They're barely Southern Hemisphere.
I mean,
they're quite literally.
They're quite literally in the Southern Hemisphere.
they're like Spain.
And actually played Samoa more times than New Zealand. Interestingly.
That seems sensible.
That seems like a good policy. How do we look at all the centres who have played? There is 2 centres who are most capped centres of this decade with the same amount, both with 30 caps.
30 caps.
Who are your 2 most capped centres? Dave, how about you pick one?
How about I pick one? Should I just pick one?
You just pick one.
I'm really struggling for some reason. I mean, there's so many. I'm just going to check a name out. Almost friend of the pod, Nick DeLuca.
No.
He was 44 caps, though.
He was.
But he played a few on the wing, didn't he?
And he played quite a few sort of
before.
Back end.
Yeah.
It's only a decade, eh? Dunbar.
Dunbar is correct. He has got 30 caps this decade. 20 at 12 and 10 at 13.
Right.
And who is your second?
I'm going to say Pete Horn.
I was going to say Pete Horn.
Pete Horn is on 16.
Only on 16?
16.
Which now I
How's
say...
How's that possible?
Now I say it, seems a little bit low.
Because he presumably made his debut in this decade.
Are you sure, Alan?
I was going to see if I can edit this bit out, but it's quite good.
It's
actually
quite good to... Pete Horn played 37 times. He played 37 times for Scotland.
Starting centres for Scotland.
Okay.
Pete Horn has started for Scotland 16 times in the centres. He started for Scotland 3 times at 10. And he's lost all 3, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And then he has come off the bench 18 times for
so
Scotland.
So somebody has started for Scotland 30 times in the centres.
Well, how about we change up? There has been 17 players who have played centre for Scotland this decade.
Okay.
One is DeLuca, one is Pete Horn, and then one is Dunbar.
Finn Russell.
Finn Russell is correct. 1 cap at centre.
Are we just going one for one here?
We're going one for one.
Lamont.
Sean Lamont is correct. 17.
Hugh Jones.
Hugh Jones is correct. 20 caps.
Greg.
Greg's correct. He's got five.
Matt Scott.
Matt Scott is correct. And our equal top.
Oh,
starter
is he?
On 30.
Ah, God, I forgot about the big run he had.
Bennett.
Bennett is correct.
That's a great show.
16.
Wow, I've definitely now forgotten all rugby players. Nobody that's ever played rugby.
Why don't you just think about who started this Six Nations?
Could do that. Good start. God, why have I gone so... Chris Harris. Not that person.
Chris Harris is correct.
I know it's correct, but it's not the person.
Sam Johnson.
Sam Johnson is also correct.
This is why I get such brain freeze in these
Richie
games.
Vernon.
Oh, you're just diving in
there. Yeah, I'm bored of
Dave's thing. Dave. Richie Vernon, you got five left. Big old names floating around.
Ansbrough.
Ansbrough's correct.
Oh, nice. Friend of the pod. Early days.
Evans.
Evans, correct. Three more. I'm going to give you a clue. One retired, one injured, one playing. Dave, you've got a look in your face. It's almost like, looks like you're like fake, like acting, thinking.
I'm just like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I should know. They just don't come to me readily.
There's one missing that's like probably your favourite current Scottish player.
No, that's just putting me on the spot, isn't it?
Who's injured? I mean, you're literally going to be kicking yourself.
Gavin Hastings. Is it Big Gav?
I can't even think who you're talking about.
It's late. It's almost 10 o'clock, Alan.
Yeah.
Duncan Taylor.
Oh, right. Okay,
that's not that obvious, to be fair.
I do love Duncan Taylor.
You do love Duncan Taylor.
Who are the other two, then?
One of Glasgow's most capped players.
Morrison.
Morrison is correct. And the other player, currently playing for an English Premiership side, has one cap in the centres for Scotland on the most recent summer tour, where I think against either Canada or the US, he started at 12. And
James Lang
is correct. There you're 17.
Wow.
The great centres of Scotland.
They're a real struggle to name.
That was really tough. I think it's 10 o'clock, lads.
Yeah.
I think we need to go to bed and go to work.
I think you're right.
I've actually got a guy in, I'm working from home in the morning, guy bringing a Nest, like, version 4.
Nice, mate.
Currently rocking the version 1.
Yeah.
And it just, without me doing anything, just puts our heat up by like 4 degrees in the middle of the night, and I sort of wake up sweating quite a lot. That's also to do with the weight, but
well, enjoy that.
I think you can tell it's 10 o'clock. What the hell are you talking about?
Anyone who's still listening, should we just do some quick predictions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Matt, you're going to the game. What's going to happen?
I think I'm going to have a lovely time. I'm going to go to the Malone's bar.
Let's give a shout out to Malone's.
In association with the Cabs, which would be really fun, on Christopher Road. On the way, I'm going to go to the Roseburn afterwards. You know, I'm going to have a nice rest of my day. And then I think the 80 minutes in between, I think we're going to lose by 15. And I don't think we're going to be in it much. And I think we're going to score less than 10.
Good
Lord. It's going to be one of those days where we're never in it.
Alan, give me some positivity. Come on.
Scotland to win by 2.
Scotland to win by 2?
That'd be so good.
I feel like...
Scotland win by 2, I will, despite my plans, go to Fingers and buy every Thistle fan there at the Blue WKD.
I like how you don't give a time frame, though. You're like, just going to rock in at 7. You're like, any Thistle fans around here? No, that's fine. One for me.
Well, as soon as the wind gets in, all the Thistle lads will go straight there. They'll be queuing around the door at Fingers, waiting for the
And view. I have been recognised in Fingers before, so this isn't all a sort right. of outlandish...
All right. What an asshole.
Wait, you were there too.
Recognised in the toilets.
Where?
You hang around in toilets of bars quite a lot, don't you?
Oh, very good.
Thank you very much.
Right, 2-point win to Scotland. I always think with Wales, and I think I always underestimate Wales, but it feels like, you know, all these players play against these guys week in, week out. Glasgow and Edinburgh have a very good record against the Welsh sides, both in the Pro 14 and in the kind of Champions Cup. And whilst I think you know, there is a couple of like big step ups. I feel like Scotland at home, Russell back. I think Seymour and Gray going to step up with some big performances on their 50th cap.
You know the difference between the Pro 14 and Champions Cup and the internationals?
What is it?
Gallon.
Oh!
I mean, I think your thesis is very good that Edinburgh and Glasgow win well against Welsh teams, but we lose against Wales all the time.
Yes, I know.
So,
and
that is like the one...
So it's not a good thesis.
The fatal flaw of that is that it does not translate into internationals consistently for the last 20 years.
God. What do you think, Dave?
I think Scotland are going to lose.
By
5-10. I think it'll be fairly abject, actually. I think we'll try and get it going, but I think Wales have our number, unfortunately. And
I think that's
there's nothing in that. There's nothing in this team that makes me think that that's going to change. So
it's a fuck on weekend.
I guess that's it. Thanks a lot for coming along. We'll be on the Twitter on doing our match day reporting, such as it is, at Thistle Rugby Pod, and we'll be back next week, drowning or our sorrows or celebrating. And we'll chat to you then. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.